Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jetta Cameron.
And I'm John Ritchie. We're the guys behind the 94 WIP Morning Show, the place Philly sports fans turn to every morning.
Eagles, Philly, Sixers, Flyers, if it matters in this city, we're talking about it.
We bring real opinions, smart analysis, and yeah, some chaos too.
From breaking news to big name guests, it's all here.
Whether you're tailgating or stuck in traffic, we've got your Philly sports fix.
Follow and listen to the 94 WIP Morning Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and get new episodes every weekday.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out. There's so much going on with the Philadelphia Eagles. We will talk about them all day on the Midday Show today. By the way, Klondike Kate's, we're back at Klondike Kate's in Newark, Delaware on Main Street. They're opening up their sleigh bar today. So if you're in the area, come on out. We're going to be having a great time talking Eagles all day on the Midday Show. We'll sprinkle in some Phillies too as the GM meetings are going on out in Las Vegas. Some interesting stuff coming out with Dave Dombrowski yesterday, saying he and Bryce Harper spoke and had a good conversation. And obviously all sorts of things kind of now hinge on if and when the Phillies can re-sign Kyle Schwarber, can re-sign JT Realmuto, and how the offseason moves off of that. But one interesting thought that was presented yesterday by Scott Lauber of the Philadelphia Inquirer was a potential trade and a potential way the Phillies could dump Nick Castellanos. And clearly they're trying to dump Nick Castellanos to the point where I believe if they don't find a trade partner for Nick Castellanos, they will just release him. So this could be one of a few things. They could end up releasing Nick Castellanos, which is obviously egg on their face. They paid the guy $100 million, and in the fifth year of the deal, it's so bad from a morale and production standpoint that they have no choice but to just release him. That would be a bad look. $20 million left in the deal. Bad look. Meanwhile, they're desperate to find a right-handed hitting outfielder. In theory, that should be Nick Castellanos. I mean, they if he was coming from a different team, if he was the buy low on a different team, they would probably look at him and say, maybe he could be a right-handed hitting outfielder. But the whole thing is so, you know, kind of just, based on what the last few years have been, that they want to move on and the whole Topper thing and the production thing and not handling his role great. It's over. I mean, he's not going to be a Philly next year. So option one could be they just outright dump him and release him. Option two could be they try to attach a bunch of money to a deal and take someone back. You know, let's say there's a bad team in need of some offense. The Pittsburgh Pirates in need of offense. Kansas City Royals always in need of offense. Miami Marlins, where he wanted to go to begin with. Those teams cannot afford, with their budgets, $20 million for Nick Castellanos, even if they basically just, it was a trade for free. They couldn't do it. But would one of those teams have an excess reliever that they are ready to DFA, an excess reliever they are willing to trade? A guy maybe with some stuff, but some up and down, nature, injuries, whatever. There's a reason why they would trade him. And if the Phillies paid $15 million of Castellanos' deal, could they get a player back from one of those kind of teams? Potentially. Then there's also the idea that the Phillies could attach a prospect. According to, I think it was Matt Gelb's article this morning, it doesn't seem like the Phillies are really, truly interested in that. And I agree with that. It's like attaching a draft pick to a trade in the NBA because you just want to dump someone so badly that you dump, you add the draft pick to it. This happens in the NFL rarely, but once in a while. At least in those sports, though, there's a salary cap element, and you kind of have to facilitate a trade sometimes. You're kind of you're over a barrel. I don't think that they have to be. They can just release him. Like, why would I give up a prospect to make someone take him when I could just eat the money? Like, I'd rather eat the money than lose the player. So I don't love that one. And then, as Scott Lauber pointed out, there's also the potential for a player-for-player kind of trade with Nick Castellanos. If you could find another team that has a player that is making a good chunk of money, but that relationship is over too. And the one he pointed out that I'm intrigued by is the idea of Nick Castellanos to the St. Louis Cardinals for Nolan Arenado. The Arenado thing has been sour for a couple years. He really mismanaged his no-trade clause because he was trying to force his way, I guess, to specific spots, and maybe those spots didn't want him. He really, you know, I feel like in a career that will end in Cooperstown, 2025 was such a waste of time for both the player and the team. This time, the team being the St. Louis Cardinals and the player being Nolan Arenado. I mean, why did they do that? Why did they keep that relationship going for a year when everyone could have been, you know, moved forward a year ago? They basically traded him a year ago, and he's like, nah, I don't want to leave now. I want to pick and choose when I use my no-trade clause. And they're like, all right, dude. I mean, if you want to stay here, we'll play you. This is a kind of a – it was a lost Cardinals season anyway because they weren't really trying to compete, that they really weren't trying to rebuild. I think they were just sitting around while Mozeliak finished out his last year and Chaim Bloom took over, and he is now taking over. There's no chance in my mind Chaim Bloom is dealing with this Arenado stuff for a whole year, so they're going to dump Arenado. Now, I think we need to have realistic and fair expectations on what the players are. Castellanos is what he is at this point. We know that. And he's a super flawed player that is in decline. He was always flawed, but at one point, you know, he was a better athlete and better player. Now he's in super decline. He can't run. He can't play defense. He can't hit righties. I mean, he is a platoon left-handed DH. That's really what Nick Castellanos is. Nolan Arenado is a little bit better than that, but it's still not great. Now, at least he provides defense. Now, the metrics will tell you, the eye test will tell you, it slipped a little bit the last couple years. Of course it has. I mean, he was as good as it gets, you know, up there in the history of the game, you know, with Brooks Robinson, with Michael Jack Schmidt. I put Adrian Beltre in that mix. I put Machado in that mix and Arenado in that mix. I mean, these are the great third basemen that we've ever seen play the game on the defensive side. So, yeah, there's slippage there. He's not the same. He also has dealt with some shoulder issues. And you look at his numbers, and they are going down precipitously on the offensive end. But I will say this about him. I think it gives you a better at-bat than Castellanos. So if we're looking for a swap of my crap for your crap, he gives you a better at-bat. But there's obviously more elements, and you're probably sitting there saying, like, Joe, hold on. Castellanos plays right field. He's an outfielder. He's a corner outfielder. And Nolan Arenado is a third baseman. So what are we doing? How are we building this baseball team in a way that has any logic by bringing in Nolan Arenado? And obviously with the offensive player Arenado is now, with the offensive player Alec Bohm has always been, neither are DH candidates. So this isn't like, oh, we'll just, you know, we'll lose Schwarber and we'll swap Castellanos for Arenado. We'll make the whole thing work. That's not what I'm saying. My perspective and the reason why I think there could be something to this and why I'm interested in it is if the Phillies can reroute Alec Bohm to go get something of worth in the bullpen or in the outfield, I am willing to swap Castellanos for Arenado because I believe in the big picture, it makes the entire team better. You would get better defense on the field because Arenado, of all the players we're discussing right now, is the best defensive player still, even with the slippage. So you get better defense. And then you look at the offense, and I think we could say Bohm at this point in the last couple of years has been a slightly better player than Arenado as Arenado has slipped precipitously from where he used to be. But Bohm has never been to the level Arenado used to be. There is a chance, albeit, I don't know, 10, 15, 20%, and Arenado has a bounce-back season and matches Bohm next year. When then you add him the defense, he's a better player. And I do like the profile of the hitter, even though the production is down and the pop is down. He doesn't strike out, just like Alec Boehm. So it's not like we're bringing in, you know, we're taking away a high strikeout, low contact guy. We're bringing in more of a contact, low strikeout guy. And we're swapping out one of those similar batters with Alec Boehm. Plus, when I rope the Boehm conversation into this, I'm done with Boehm. I've been done with Boehm for years. I don't believe in the guy. I've seen 100 Alec Boehms. Just 100 of them. Like, I want Alex Bregman. And this probably needs to be contingent on Bregman. Maybe we put this trade on hold for a little bit and we see if there's something there with Bregman, because I want Bregman to play third base in the Phillies. I've wanted this for years. It feels like every year I get on my soapbox about Alex Bregman and try to get him to Philadelphia. That's why I want a third base. But I realize that is that's a big one. I mean, that is, it's not easy to go get an Alex Bregman. It's going to cost a lot of money. He's going to have a lot of suitors. The reality probably is he will not be a Philadelphia Philly next year, and I won't get my way. So that's that. But okay, Alex Bregman is number one. That's first and foremost. If we cannot get Alex Bregman, well, then what? Well, that's where I go to, okay, well, let's do the Alec Boehm thing. Let's go get Alec Boehm out of here, and let's go change the equation at third base. Bottom line is, I'm done with Boehm. I don't believe in him as a cleanup guy. I don't believe him as a big-time hitter in the postseason. His postseason numbers in his career are dreadful for a reason. This is not a star player who's had, like, demons in his head and monsters about the postseason. This isn't young Alex Rodriguez struggling because the bright lights, you know, all-time player struggling with the bright lights. This is Alec Boehm. He's fine. I've seen 100 Alec Boehms play third base in Major League Baseball. You don't lose any sleep when they leave. You go get a new one. So I don't believe the Phillies are going to keep Alec Boehm long-term. I don't believe the Phillies want Alec Boehm long-term. This would have been done 2 years ago, if they wanted to keep this guy, if they thought he was worth a long-term contract. They don't. And I also believe Aiden Miller is on his way to play the left side of the infield. Now, where is that going to be? I don't know. So the contract situation gives the Phillies a little bit of, I would call it, flexibility over the next couple of years. So, you know, they know they have Trey Turner signed up, obviously. They would have Arenado at 2 years, $37 million. It's kind of wonky when you look at his contract and what's left, how much he's owed this year. The Rockies are still paying some of his money. So it's $22 million this year on the books for the team that he's on. That right now is the Cardinals. It could be the Phillies. And it's $15 million next year. So 2 years, $37 million. Meanwhile, Castellanos is the 1 year, $20 million. So that's how the money shakes out. Let's say they make the deal. And they have Turner at short for next season. We'll see if he can hold the level he had this year, because that's certainly good enough to play shortstop. Not Gold Glove, and you worry about him in a big moment, but you could get away with it the way they got away with it this year for the most part. And at times it was plus. Then you get Arenado at third. So then you go to an upgrade defensively third base, and you'll have Turner back at shortstop. Aiden Miller, we'll see when he arrives. Is it 2026? I don't know. Could be more like 2027. So then a year from now, you get to see one more year of Turner at short. Is that viable, or is he going backwards? You know, which...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He could certainly go backwards again because of his age at that position. Maybe the outfield is going to be where he ends up anyway. And then you have Aiden Miller short, and you could figure out, you know, that one last year of Arenado before he's off the books, and maybe look for a veteran on the free agent market. Or Miller is ready, and he's the third baseman. And a year from now, it's $15 million to buy out or move off of Arenado. That's not a big bunch of money. I mean, it really is what they're probably going to end up doing with Castellanos anyway. So it kind of pushes the decision back on this type of player just like one more year. And then for the Boehm value discussion, can you get a reliever for him? Can you get a player? Again, we'll go back to those teams like the Royals, like the Reds. The Reds could use a little offense. I mean, obviously. And now they just traded for Ke'Bryan Hayes. That complicates things. probably not going to go for him unless they put him at first base. But teams that need offense, that don't want to pay for offense, he's going to be about a $10 million player on a one-year deal in arbitration. It's not overwhelming. Teams can afford that. Can you get an outfielder? Can you get, you know, a corner outfielder in a swap for Alec Boehm? I don't know, but these are the kinds of moves the Phillies need to think about. These are the kind of moves the Phillies need to be on board with. And I just look at it like this. It's an old team anyway. It's a team in transition anyway. They're trying to incorporate the younger players with the older guys. Arenado is just more of a pro and a winner and an all-timer and a gamer than Alec Boehm will ever be. You'll get better defense. You will get similar offensive profiles. I mean, what's Arenado? Let's say the shoulder's healthier next year. He's going to hit 20 home runs, 16 to 20 home runs. He's going to hit I think he could bounce back and hit 250. He's going to pick it. He'll knock in runs when they're on base. Like, he'll do a lot of the stuff Boehm does. Will he hit 280? Probably not anymore. But he won't strike out. You can improve your outfit or your bullpen. You could dump Castellanos. I'm in on it. I think there are way worse ideas out there for how Castellanos is off this baseball team. And if it ends up being a release or Arenado, give me the 237 on Arenado. And let's see if they could get one more bump. I always think with great players, with Hall of Fame players, there's always, every time you think it's truly over, there's maybe one more bump in them, one more decent year. You look back to all those late 90s Yankees teams, they were bringing those Cecil Fielders, those Darryl Strawberries, those Tim Raineses, all the time. And, when, you know, the Jose Canseco's, there's always one more decent year hidden in the good player. Bobby Bonilla with the Marlins in the late 90s. There's always the one more. Can the Phillies find the one more with Nolan Arenado? I'd be willing to take the risk. I would be willing to do it. I would trade for Nolan Arenado. I'd make the swap. If I'm the Phillies, I would swap Nick Castellanos for Nolan Arenado right now. Well, after I ask Alex Bregman first if he's willing to take my $175 million to play third base here. First, we'll do that. Then we'll go to plan B. Would you do it? Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, YouTube feed. It's 94WIP. Check it out there. If you missed it yesterday, Odyssey app, YouTube, Jason Avant's Hour on the Midday Show. A lot of fun talking to Jason. We're going to do this every week now moving forward. And today we got a lot going on. Klondike Kate's in Newark, Delaware. Come on by for the show. The Sleigh Bar is open. They've got great specials. It is going to be a really fun time in Newark today on the Midday Show. Thanks so much for listening to WIP Daily.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.